Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we visit with Ryan Spence about Midwestern State women's soccer. And the women's soccer team has been on a roll as of late. They've won their last two games. I think it's a seven-game unbeaten streak. They're 4-0-2 in conference, now 4-1-4 overall. And it should be a very fun Wednesday at Stang Park. The women will get a doubleheader started at 4:30 as they take on West Texas. And then the men will play under the lights at Stang Park. A pretty good week last week, Ryan. You start with a shutout against Oklahoma Christian and then win a thriller against St. Edward's 2-1. But let's go back to Edmond and talk about that game, because you got an early goal in that game, and then you were able to kind of fend off Oklahoma Christian and add a goal late.
Yeah, they Brinkley hit got in pretty early. I think it was our first 5-6 minutes.
I think it was in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, she did what kind of they trained the day before. They went out early and trained kind of back to goal stuff, and she put it in action. She turned, got a good shot. Wasn't a fluke goal. I mean, she did it. She was confident in it and gave us an early lead, which was nice.
It was your second clean sheet in three games, your first road win, first road shutout as well. And then you take that momentum, carry it into your home game against St. Edward's, which I found to be a very tense game. But you said in the postgame show, in a way it was tense, but in a way it wasn't.
Yeah, any game where there's a red card in the game, it changes the mood of it, changes subbing, it changes everything, to be honest. So
you had to play about 30 minutes with a man down.
Yeah, we didn't play very well first half. Playing against the wind, St. Ed's was challenging for balls really well. I think they outshot us 4-1 or something like that at half. Second half, I knew it was going to be a bit different with winning balls because we had the wind behind our back, and we typically this team for some reason does really well with the wind behind our back, where teams in the past have been a little bit the opposite. We won balls, we got an early equalizer second half, and then when the red card happened in about the 60th minute, it tweaked a bit, but like the girls didn't, they weren't worried about it. They kept doing what they're doing, and they saw success doing it, and yeah, somehow you create more momentum when you're a man down.
Yeah, it was interesting because the complexion of the game didn't really change. The game continued to be played in the way it had been played in the 15 minutes before the red card.
And I don't think St. Ed's is prepared to play a bit direct, and that's what kind of we were forcing them to want to do, is to play a bit direct, because we were sitting in a bit because, of course, you don't have an extra player. And we did pretty well handling it when they did try to go. Our defenders, center backs are doing really well. They're learning when to drop in, when to step up, when to control the space, and that's kind of been the last 3 weeks. That's kind of been the talk of what we try to do, is to control the space of the field, and they did well.
You conceded a goal in the 22nd minute of that game. We're down 1-0, but then you came out in the second half, and I don't want to say it was an entirely different team, but there was a sense of urgency that you came out with in the second half.
Yeah, this team does good responding. Whether they play good first half, you know, or not, they typically can take what we're giving them, take the criticism and not take it personal, and they take it like, look, we've got a job to do, let's go do it. And they've done a good job over the last 2.5 weeks doing kind of what we're asking them to do, and I applaud them for listening, I guess, first off. And second, just making a change. I think that's the definition of coachability, is getting a direction and then implementing it. So they've done well fixing things.
And then Nixley Munoz gets the goal. I think that's her fourth goal of the season for you. That ties the game 1-1. And then it was off a free kick that Mabel Pruder found Marlena Myhrvold for a header right in front of the net. And Pruder's pretty good on those set pieces for you.
Yeah, she's done something we tried to work on a little bit this year, of just hitting the right balls, and she's consistent with it. So, and she's confident, and she doesn't really have a bit of that. She doesn't have high anxiety. She's pretty mellowed out. So those moments aren't, I don't think, very stressful for her. So she's done a good job putting the ball where I need it to.
Are there players in your history that have taken free kicks that do have high anxiety?
Yeah, most of them.
Really? I would not imagine that.
I just think this generation in general, Lexi Beck was pretty cold blooded. You know, she was pretty calm. I'm trying to think of the ones in the past who we've had. The consistent ones. I mean, Lexi was always really consistent. Didn't, you know, put Cormie. She's got the assist lead.
Right.
So you've got to be able to hit a ball, and if you've got the assist, But it's just different. It's just all eyes are on you. And can you calm down? Can you relax, take a deep breath, and just put a ball in the area we need it to so good things can happen? And that's what, kind of what happened on that second goal with Marlena.
How much do you practice set pieces?
Not that much, because at the end of the day, it's hard. I mean, we go over where we need to go. They go over and hit kind of balls without pressure. But you can't mimic in a game very much. You can't mimic the legs, the mind, you know, maybe. Yeah. So it's hard to mimic what it is in the game. But we do mimic everything we can up until that stress level.
Yeah, and I would think if you are practicing, it's probably corner kicks, not like that free kick that Mabel took that's kind of still in the middle third.
Yep.
It's not that you can't score off that, obviously, because you did, but it's not necessarily a free kick you're expecting to score off of.
Those are kind of just in-game adjustments, or maybe she hits a bad one, and we kind of talk to her. It's like, hey, next time I need it. You know, a big thing for me is getting the ball bouncing right in front of the goalkeeper. I think that's getting runners in. It makes the keeper get back on her heels and kind of favors the offense.
Well, since you're in the mood to talk about goalkeepers, let's talk about your goalkeepers, because it seems like you're getting stronger at that position as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to – I say it's easy to build confidence, but it's easier when you're not faced with a lot of stuff. So I think either the communication they're giving defenders listening to goalkeepers, listening to themselves, listening to us, it's we're limiting chances, and I think that goes all over the place. It goes goalkeeper, defenders, outside back. I mean, it goes a team effort to just build it, and both of them, you know, they both compete. At the end of the day, that's all you hope for is you get goalkeepers that you know, it's a hard sport because you're on your own.
Right.
You're doing a lot of sessions on your own. Then you come into a group session and you get scored on and everyone's probably, oh, it's your fault. It can be a dark position sometimes. So having them compete and build each other up is kind of is when you know you've got just a good group of girls in general, just getting in there and wanting each other to succeed.
So against St. Ed, you made a goalkeeper change during the match. Your mindset, what leads you to make that change?
Well, she had a little bit of an issue, so she needed to come off, and and I mean the girls again, they watch out for each other. They're talking with me, the girls on the sideline. Lauren, the one that you know had came in to replace in the first half, she came in and did a good job. She's ready to go. I think to be honest, that's kind of been a good thing about this whole team in general is players are coming on not super stressed, not looking like the moment's too big for them, which has been good. Not saying it's been bad in the past, but I think it's just better with a lot of the group we have right now.
You're getting a lot of production off the bench, aren't you?
Well, that's kind of what I like to do is, you know, at least first half of the year, getting these big minute girls lower, you know, and as the season goes on, the minutes are going to get higher. That's natural. You look at all the teams we play. A lot of people don't sub much unless they're up goals. But when goals are one or two goal or tied game, teams aren't subbing as much. So I'd like to be able to use those legs now. And when it starts getting colder, those, you know, 60-minute players can go maybe 75 minutes. So, but it's hard if they're being kind of killed early on in the year. So, yeah, that's a thing we want to give these kids time.
It's almost a pitch count, isn't it?
It is.
You're preserving them for – later in the season.
Yeah. I mean, just trying to be smart. Some of them can do fine and they're doing a good job. They're learning how to, like Lily is learning how to do in-game rest, where in the years past, it might have been a little bit more mentally tough because of the role or the way we were playing. We changed that up just a little bit, and she's learning how to get some in-game rest and learning how to decompress as the game goes on.
This is something I've learned from you and Meech is – from my vantage point, I see a player running around, and I think, well, they're hustling. They're really giving you everything they have. But sometimes that's not really what you want.
Yeah, if you've got a tired center back, something's wrong. if you've got a tired holding mid, a lot of times something's wrong. So Lily's done a really good job there in that holding mid of being a little bit more of the defensive mindset player. She's learning how to break up plays, how to keep the ball in the attack. And that's less running as long as that person's in that right position. And she's done a good job of both ways, talking with center backs talking up to just getting those kind of counterattack and those transition periods to kill them off. And she's done a good job.
And you're playing really well in the middle. You're winning a lot of those duels in the middle third.
Yeah, the positioning's been good. The mindset's there. We know we want to win the balls, and we know teams that come in that play us know that's the one thing they have to do is they've got to be strong in the middle. And I think when you kind of get a bit of that ego, that confident ego and stuff, as the game goes on, you realize when you're in your groove, you win a couple headers and the game slows down. It becomes easier to read, and it's tougher on the attacking team.
Let's talk about what's coming up this week, especially at home here on Wednesday. You've got West Texas A&M coming in, and they've been struggling a little bit. They're 1-4 in conference play, 4-4-1 overall. They've got back-to-back losses. In fact, they've lost 4 out of 5, and the one win was over Sol Ross, a game they won 2-0. They come off a 2-0 loss at Angelo State. Their last home game, they lost to St. Mary's 3-1. So maybe you're catching West Texas at a good time?
They're kind of a tough team to figure out because they've had some injuries. They've had, I think, a couple girls are out for the year. And then I think they might have had a red card in the last game against Angelo, so they might be down. So I think right now he's struggling a bit, probably with health, which, again, is something you never want to struggle with, but it happens. Every team
it's
goes
inevitable,
through it.
Right?
But, yeah, they try to play. They try to possess the ball. But as teams wear you down, can you continue to do that and be effective at it? That's hopefully what we can do to them is put a little pressure on them, make them a bit uneasy.
And you'll be without a player because of the red card, right? Binky Mendez won't be available for you.
Yeah, she'll be out this game. Again, just an emotional thing that she'll learn from. We talked to her yesterday about kind of the big picture of things, and I think she kind of when you step back and see through the coach's eyes what these things mean, I think it makes it a little bit easier to read. So. She'll be fine. That's not normally her nature. We'll just move on.
Now, were you upset that they only got a yellow card while she got a red? Because you had a long conversation with the ref after that.
I was more angry at the fact the build-up to that was not handled or not seen. Maybe an elbow or something that an elbow or a hand hit right before this whole thing happened, hit one of our players in the jaw. And they didn't see it, and then the players go down, and then whether she came in to defend her or not, or got then it just escalates. So
right.
I don't think in that situation the refs did a good enough job of kind of managing the emotions. They did a pretty good job throughout the game. I thought they were fine. Just in that moment, that 30-second time, it could have been handled maybe a little bit better, but it didn't. And again,
so that it didn't escalate.
Yeah,
they could have stopped it sooner.
Yep, and not defending anything we did. Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. You're messing with a bunch of humans and emotions and jobs. So it's all over the place.
Well, that's why we love sports. Is that it? I mean, it's the original reality show, and it's unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen, and emotions are a part of it. Yeah. After you play West Texas, and before we talk again on the next podcast, you'll make a trip to Alpine to visit Lobo Soccer Field and play Sol Ross State. That's not the most anticipated road trip in the Lone Star Conference.
No, it's 7-8 hour drive out kind of in the middle of nowhere. they're struggling to get results, but they're making it hard. It's tough to play there. It's going to be tough to play, you know, when you're traveling 7-8 hours, no matter where it is. Just having your legs, putting chances away. They do a good job being organized. They don't come out of the back as much, but they just want to make things tough on you. And if you're not good at shooting on the day, it could be tough to get out with a win.
It may be a tough place to recruit to, but if you can get some players there, you're going to have a home field advantage at Sol Ross.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the closest, I guess what Midland's the closest, and they're 3.5 hours away. John's trying to put together a roster, put a program together that's competitive, and I think he's starting to kind of figure out don't let the game be an open basketball game. Kind of keep everything controlled and keep it tight and fight in the end.
And while you've only got the one win on the road, you've also only got one loss on the road. How would you assess the way your team's played away from home?
Done good enough to win, but on the road you don't get those lucky bounces. So you've got to be clinical and put away chances and not give teams extra free kicks, extra opportunities to get forward. So at the end of the day, yeah, it's just put away your chances. At home, they seem to fall a little bit more. When you're on the road, they don't.
Well, you are. You're 3-0 at home, and you got a chance to be 4-0 if you can beat the Lady Buffs on Wednesday night. Do you Do you see a difference in your team, other than the lucky bounces you're talking about? Do you see a difference in your team when you play at home and on the road?
Result-wise, yes. In the play, no, I think they're pretty consistent. I mean, I don't think there's that much of a difference in the way we're playing. We're just managing situations better, and I think that's the big thing about playing at home.
Hopefully we can get a big crowd out there Wednesday afternoon at 4:30 to watch Midwestern State and West Texas. That'll be your final home game for a while. By the way, you recognize the seniors on Saturday, yep. So you had a group of four that you recognized. I know you like getting that over with before the end of the season.
It was a good day at the end, so
they got a senior day victory.
Yep.
And one of the things I know you've told me in the past is you don't want that senior day in the stretch run when you're trying to win a conference title. It looks like you're going to be very much in the mix for that this year.
Yep.
Ryan, as always, thanks. I appreciate your time. That's Ryan Spence doing the Sting Gang podcast, and we want you to tell your friends about the podcast and bring your friends out to Sting Park to watch Midwestern State. I'm Pete Stein. So long.